Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here. And I guess it's the eve of Memorial Day, and I was thinking about that. Memorial Day, I'm trying to think when it was. I think it was back in the 70s or so, was put to be on the last Monday in May, but before that, I believe it used to be on the 30th, if I'm not mistaken. I was going to look at that a little bit later on in the program, but this is the eve of Memorial Day, and or if you grew up with a grandmother like mine, it was always called Decoration Day, because that's when you went out to decorate the graves of those who had died in our country service. And of course, she also put flowers on the graves of other people who were there in the cemetery. But that's what had the name Decoration Day, and then later it was changed to Memorial Day. So I hope you got some things planned for tomorrow, and to remember those who gave their all, that we might be able to have the freedom to do exactly what we're doing right now, to be able to be on the air, to be able to talk about what we want to talk about, to have the freedom to have gathered in churches today. I hope you're in church today, and to worship and praise God, serve God. And I know I think everybody should be in church, but you did have the freedom to not be in church, and that's part of the freedom of religion. But as we think about it, many things that we're blessed with, the freedoms that we have, because people were willing to give their all. Like I said, we'll probably talk about that a little bit more later on in the program. But for now, let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again that we had the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program this evening and to use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and help us to be able to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, as we come together tonight on the eve of Memorial Day, help us not only to remember those that sacrificed that we might have the freedoms that we have, but that we might also remember and lift up the one who sacrificed that we can have the ultimate freedom, the freedom of sin that we have through salvation through Christ, who shed his blood on the cross in order to pay for our sins. Father, again, bless the program. Use it for your glory tonight. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and I was going to mention there, I've got a picture on there that I put together for Memorial Day, and it's a picture taken at the Ohio Veterans Memorial Park in Clinton, Ohio, and I've told people about the Veterans Memorial Park there on occasion, and so I was putting something together for church for our Memorial Day in our church bulletin. And I thought of a picture that I had taken last year at night visiting the memorial, Veterans Memorial in Clinton, Ohio. And it just was kind of a neat picture. It was a statue of the Gold Star Mom looking down at the memorial. And it's really kind of nice, in the big black wall with the names inscribed on it with gold letters saying, "Lest we forget." And so I used that for a Memorial Day picture. I turned that into a picture there for Memorial Day, "Lest we forget." And certainly, as a veteran myself, I know many people who have served in the military, and you know, we're fortunate we did not have to be called to give our all. But it's like somebody made the statement that if you signed up, you went in the military, you were signing a blank check to Uncle Sam for everything up to and including your life. And Some people, of course, that is what they paid. So just remember that Veterans Day. Number of communities across the state, across the nation, having a Veterans Day services tomorrow. And if you have the opportunity, I hope you'll take advantage of that and get out and do that. And then later in the day, enjoy some time. And, you know, they call it the unofficial start for summer. The traditional Memorial Day barbecue, backyard barbecue and celebration. Of course, that is a celebration, I think, of the freedom that these people, men and women, that gave their lives for us. That's a celebration of those freedoms that we have as Americans. Well, we'll be talking again, like I said, more about that. But check us out online, live with PastorAl.com. You can learn more about me, more about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can find a link to the church there at livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs there. And there's a variety of articles and different things that are available there, all at livewithpastoral.com. So I encourage you to check that out. And, of course, our program tonight, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. And, if you don't feel comfortable coming on the air, give Craig your question and he can get it to me. We've done that in the past. And I typically go with somebody who's live waiting on the phone first. But if we get some questions, we'll fill them in as we can. As well, had a great question last week on how Adam and Eve populated the earth, and that's always a good question, a good thing to discuss, and so we talked about that, and of course we'll talk about just about anything related to the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. So with that in mind, we've got Nancy waiting patiently for me, and Nancy, thank you. Happy Memorial Day to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Al. And the reason I am calling tonight, and I sort of gave you a warning on Friday, is I wanted to just put in a plug for Henry Thomas Weber's book, Americans We Were.
And right.
If you don't mind, can I just read the first paragraph?
And let me just mention something before you read the first paragraph there. Last Friday, he was on the radio with me, and I don't believe I have that program uploaded yet, but we will be, and we spent a half hour talking about different things, including his book, Americans We Were. So with that, go ahead.
Yes, and you know, when I heard that entire program, and I was so impressed with his grasp of the Bible, history, and his ability to articulate. I couldn't figure out sometimes if it was you or him talking, because his way of speaking was so profound. He's sort of like, in my opinion, in the same league as John Bunyan or Thomas Sowell. I might be exaggerating, but I have his book. It's over 700 pages, and I'm just totally enthralled with it. Can I just read the first paragraph of, it's called An Epitome. It's in the back of his book. And also, if you do an engine search, the name of the book is Americans We Were by Henry Thomas Weber, and it'll pop right up. You can buy it either on Amazon or on Barnes & Noble. Now, this first paragraph, well, I'd like to read the whole thing, but I don't have time.
700 pages is a little long for our program tonight, but...
the first paragraph of it's called An Epitome. Who can turn the shadowy portents of destiny or change the course again of which it is meant to be? Do you wonder, as I, if it is not too late for America? Or are the glorious days of her past only a remnant of remembrance now? What strange fate may lay in store for this once great nation. And as a people, it is not prudent we should be aware of the grave hour in which we are living. In the light of these foreboding days, such as they are, reluctantly, I say, it would appear America may be approaching the threshold of some forthcoming fantastic and final conclusion. And, you know, I love the way, I'm almost at page 100, it's over 700 pages, and I love the way he incorporates biblical truths into the story of his life, and it's sort of like the story of his great aunt Mary, which he goes back into Bidewell, I think it's called Bidewell, England. And the way he incorporates biblical truths and in an occasionally biblical, you know, Bible verses is so clever, and it's sort of like he's witnessing to you, but you don't realize it because he's such a good storyteller. So anyhow, I know it took him 11 years to write the book, and I just want to encourage other people. You can either get it, the actual book, or get it on Kindle. So thank you very much. That's all I want to say.
Well, and yeah, Nancy, that was it was good. I mean, it was a good book, and I encourage people, and I'll get the thing up hopefully in the next day or so to where we can have that program. You know, Henry Thomas Weber, of course, I've been talking with him over the past number of years as he's been writing this book. And I kept saying, hey, as soon as you get it done, I'm going to get you on the radio. And he says, well, it's coming along. It's coming along. And it's coming along for 11 years. And it came along. And finally, it's there. And it's kind of nice. I'm looking forward to reading it myself. I've not begun reading it yet. But you know, it's nice when you can get somebody who's walking with God, who can put a book together. It's not exactly a biography. It's not exactly a history book. It's not exactly a novel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it carries a lot of elements of all of those things together.
Yes.
And in a way that lifts up and honors Christ. And I think that's one of the strong points in it. And I'm kind of looking forward too, because it covers not only history of America, but also here Ohio, northeastern Ohio in particular, where he's from. And of course, you know, it might even hit a little bit from where I'm from, because I grew up just around the corner from where he lived. So so it's kind of nice. And in fact, I was telling him that some of his cousins, they lived just on the other side of our one hayfield. And I always appreciated the fact that when we were the little preteens and they were the teenagers, when they went out to shoot BB guns, they would let us know, because we'd be playing in the trees along the side of the hayfield. And they say, hey, we're going to be shooting out here, so you guys ought to go back. So, at least they did that before they started shooting. I was always thankful, but I don't think Tom was in the part of that group, but his cousins were. But you know, it's just amazing. And I was going to say, is it's amazing how when you see somebody coming from just a place in America, and appreciating what America is, and that's why I was glad to have him on, you know, as we were leading into the Memorial Day weekend, because what's more of a quintessential holiday for Americans than Memorial Day weekend? And we think about some of the unique characteristics. But thank you for reading that for us.
Oh yes, I enjoyed it so much. And I was looking at the title of the title page of the book last night, and it showed that his father's first name was Leroy, and that's my father's first name. So I thought that was a big coincidence.
Yeah.
And his background is England, Germany, France, Scotch. Well, that's exactly my background. I think yours, too.
Yeah, very similar, England, yeah.
French, Germany, Scotland, and Wales. So anyhow, the book is just amazing. I just would encourage. I don't really read that much. I should read more, but I'm totally captivated by this book.
So that's a good report.
And then also when your call screener Craig took my call, he told me this is his last night there tonight, and I was very sad. He's been such a pleasant call screener. So
he's done a great job, and he, you know, the people behind the booth, they're the screen over there, the window, I should say, are the ones that enable this to take place. You know, I mean, I'm not privy to all the controls on the board and answering the phone and everything, and it's really kind of an unsung sort of a job that's done, and been doing it for, you know, I'm trying to think when, Craig, if you remember when you started here on 2018. It's been that long. Wow.
2018. Wow. Well, we're going to miss it.
Yeah.
But anyhow, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Al.
Yes.
Thank you to Craig.
Yeah, and pray for him. He's going on hopefully bigger and better things and sticking with radio. Maybe you'll tune the radio on one day and hear his voice on some station. But so we wish him all the best. So, all right. Well, thank you, Nancy, for your call. Happy Memorial Day to you, too. And thank you for reminding us about Henry Thomas Weber's book, Americans We Were. All right. Well, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And our number is 888-677-9673. And we go from talking about Henry Thomas Weber to Tom in St. Petersburg, Florida tonight. And Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al. The Amen Corner says hi from Florida.
Thank you. Hello, blessings, and happy Memorial Day to all of you.
Yes, yes. It's a rarity that I have a Monday off, so I can actually listen to you and not be going to bed right now. So this is a joy. But I wanted to bring up about another significant day. Today is the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
And what was on my mind was Acts chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
1 and 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And I just thought, wonderful thing to bring up on this evening, and I'm glad to be sharing that with you tonight.
Well, and yeah, you're right. The Feast of Pentecost, we were talking about that, and we actually sang some songs today at church in relation to Pentecost. And we're an independent fundamental Baptist church, and we don't really follow a lot of, you know, some of what they call the liturgical calendar that some of the mainline denominational churches follow and different things. But this is a celebration of one of those seven biblical feasts that were outlined, or Levitical feasts, I should say, that were outlined in the book of Leviticus, and beginning with, of course, Passover, which, of course, was fulfilled in the person of Christ. He was born as our Passover lamb, you know, laid in the manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like the Levitical priests that were shepherds that were overseeing the birth of lambs that could be used for Passover. And then they were, I believe, the ones called to witness the Christ child by the angels. And they saw him wrapped up the same way they were wrapping up the Passover lambs. And then, of course, he gave his life on the day of the preparation of the Passover. At the same time the Passover lambs were being slain, Jesus died on the cross. And then, of course, after Passover was the Feast of Unleavened Bread immediately after that. And of course, Jesus gave himself, his body was without sin, which unleavened bread, of course, pictures. And then he rose as the first fruits. He rose at the Feast of the First Fruits. That was a recognition of the first grain to ripen that was offered up to God. And he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And then the next one that came was the Spirit of God coming down on the early church, and that's in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, as you said, when it was fully come, and that's when the Spirit of God moved upon them in the form of a mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire that sat on them, and they went out, and Peter then preached a great message, and thousands of people came to Christ. And those are basically the spring feasts, and we've got four more to go. That's the autumn feast, which of course will start with Rosh Hashanah, which is in September-October time frame, followed by, I'm trying to think, Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets, and then that's followed by, of course, I'm drawing a blank here. what am I trying to say? Not Rosh Hashanah. I'm thinking of the Booth, which is the third one. What's that? Well, it's the one where they... Yom Kippur, and when they remember they confess their sin and all that, and yeah, I just drawn a blank here. It's a long day today, but and then of course the seventh one being the Feast of Trumpets, and it's kind of interesting speculating with Christ is going to fulfill those feasts as well, just as we've seen these fulfilled in order with the Day of Pentecost being a very special one because. Remember, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he told them that he needed to leave, and he said another comforter would come. And that other comforter that he said was going to come was the Spirit of God that came into the world. And so it's really kind of exciting when you think about it. Here in John chapter 16 and verse number, let's go to verse number 5. He says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me," meaning the Father. He's going to the Father. "And none of you asks me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And he goes on to identify the Spirit of the Comforter for us in verse 13, where he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." And as you pointed out in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God came upon them. That's the Comforter that Jesus said. And the Spirit of God came, and they went out, and they proclaimed, and they spoke, and people heard him in other tongues. And it says in Acts 2:11, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And that's amazing, isn't it?
Right. Yes, it is. Wow.
And I'm glad you brought that up. And it also reminds me of something else. A lot of times people say, well, when was the church born? When did the church begin? And in a sense, those are almost like two separate questions if you think about it. Because, you know, people have birthdays, and we say, well, when was your birthday? When were you born? But your birthday or the day you were born is not when you began, is it? If you think about it.
Correct.
And I think much of the physical illustrates the spiritual. And I think the church began when Jesus called out his disciples and he brought them together and began to instruct them. Just like a baby begins at the moment of conception, but the baby isn't ready to go into the world yet. The baby has to develop and grow before it can go into the world. And then when the baby is born into the world, what happens? You know, the baby cries, right? And the world takes notice. Here's a new life in the world. And I think it's kind of like the church. The conception was when Christ began calling out the disciples, and he had to grow them. He had to train, teach them. And it wasn't until the day of Pentecost, when they cried out with a mighty voice, that the world took note of them and they came into the world. Yeah. So I think if we look at it that way, it's a better understanding of how the church come to be.
I think that's great. And maybe it's a better explanation of the beginning of that and when the day of Pentecost was fully come.
Right. It would just like when the time of the birth was fully come. It's the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the child is born into the world, and a number of changes take place as the child comes into the world, which, at the risk of getting off from Pentecost, one of the most amazing miracles is the fact that we go from being essentially an aquatic creature in our mother's womb, surrounded by the amniotic fluid in the womb, And when we go into the world, we essentially, within literally seconds, moments, we are transformed from being an aquatic creature to an air-breathing creature in just moments. Yes. I don't have the things in front of me right now, but if anybody looks it up sometime, there's some references online, some resources online that you can find of the things that take place between the time that a baby is in the womb and the time that it enters into the world, and the incredible bioengineering that, according to the evolutionists, just happened by chance. How many babies had to die because they couldn't make the transition before they finally figured it out, right? Or, as makes more sense, God created us that way. And it's just amazing, amazing feat of bioengineering. It's miraculous how we go make that transition. And really, when you relate that back to the church, the amazing transition from a group of men that was totally dependent on Christ and now into the world with the Holy Spirit empowering them to go out and to accomplish amazing things. So, yeah.
And isn't that also amazing that on this day of Pentecost, what did it say, 3,000 souls were added? Imagine having a ministry that starts with not much of anything, and then seconds later, 3,000 souls that you're responsible for. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, when you read that, the men went out, and actually there was in the upper room about 100 and some there, and so you had a handful, a nucleus there, and they went out into the world, and it lists the languages that people heard. It really is amazing because it says in Acts 2, verse 5, and there were dwelling in at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all they these that speak Galileans? Meaning these people are like, they're fishermen. Remember later on, there's another spot where they say these people are ignorant fishermen. And then he says, how do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And it lists a whole bunch of people's nations that were represented there. And of course, these were Jewish people largely from these nations. You know, you've got Parthia, Medes, the Elamites, the Mesopotamians, and as well as the Judeans and other Asians and Egyptians and Libyans and Cyrenes and Cyrenians, Cretes, Arabians, all these. And that's where he comes down to verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And that is such an amazing line. You think about they heard them speaking not anything that lifted up and glorified themselves, but things which glorified God. And it got their attention, and that's where you see verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, and he begins to preach, and as you pointed out, 3,000 people, it says about 3,000 people come to Christ as they're, get saved as a result of that message. Imagine having a service at your church on Sunday and having even a tenth of that come to Christ in one service.
It'd be a big responsibility.
Yes, and it was, because as you read in the next chapters there, some of the people, they didn't want to go back home. They wanted to stay because they were excited about learning about Christ. They were excited about what God was doing, and they didn't want to stay. But the problem was they didn't have homes. They were only there temporarily. They brought some money and supplies to be there temporarily, and yet they stayed. They didn't have homes. They didn't have jobs. And kind of interesting when you read and figure out what God did through these men and able to meet the needs of all these people. Hey, Tom, we're coming up on the break here, and I want to thank you for calling.
Thank you, and have a great
Memorial Day. God bless you. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And if you've got a question but don't feel comfortable coming on the air, you can phone in and give your question to Craig, and he'll let me know what your question is as well. I want to remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, find out more about me. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of the program. And we meet, of course, in Richfield, Ohio at, we're in a little commercial strip. Don't look for a building with a steeple. You won't find us. You look for a door, and you can see our name in through the door. But we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, and in Richfield near 271 and 77 in that general area there. All right, well, we're going to get, I also wanted to mention, too, also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And if you are out on the east side, let me encourage you to give them a call. Call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and speak with Gus, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business, not a franchise, be your own business, and he'd be happy to help you get started. You can discuss with Gus how you can do that. That's East Coast Pizza, located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights, Ohio, 216-341-9100. All right, we're getting back to our program here tonight on this Memorial Day Eve, and certainly I want to thank you for praying for us that we could be able to stay on the air and continue. And we were talking with one of our friends from Florida in the last half hour, and that just reminded me, it's due to God's grace that we're still on the air in Florida. They'll join us at 11 o'clock here tonight. And but appreciate everybody's prayers. They're influential and helpful in keeping us on the air, so I appreciate that. Well, again, our number is 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to Terry, who's calling from Canada. And, of course, Memorial Day is more a holiday here in the States. But, Terry, welcome to the program tonight. I was going to ask you, do you have an equivalent to Memorial Day in Canada?
August 1st, I believe.
August 1st.
This year, yeah.
All right, yeah. And ours started, of course, initially with the remembrance of those that died during our Civil War, because that was the biggest loss of life, certainly at that time and even up until now, of any of the wars that America has been involved in. But when you think about it, it eventually expanded, of course, into remembering those that died in, I think it was about the time World War One. They expanded it to that. And then, of course, World War II, Vietnam, the War on Terror in Afghanistan, and different things like that. And also picking up our earlier wars, 1812 and Revolutionary War, different things. And just generally people who died in service to our country, giving us the freedom to do what we have. And so in Canada, how did yours, do you have any idea how yours got started? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, we celebrate, remember those that died in World War One.
Right. And I remember, maybe you can correct me on this, but I think I remember hearing somewhere that Canada had more people per capita, more men per capita, than any other of the Allied countries that died in World War One.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I remember my daughter was a fan of Anne of Green Gables, which, of course, was set in, what was it? Was it Newfoundland or Nova Scotia, somewhere in or Prince Edward Island, one of the maritime provinces where it was set. But as you follow through the stories, or those that are familiar with it, Canada gets caught up in World War One, and even Anne, I think, goes over eventually working as a volunteer and helping with as a nurse or something, if I remember correctly, in World War One. I think it was during that time when she was looking at that, and we were looking at some history of Anne of Green Gables and then Canada's involvement in World War One, that I came across that statistic that Canada, more than any of the other Allied countries, had more men died preserving our freedoms per capita than any of the Allied countries.
Was Nightingale, was she in World War One?
Florence Nightingale, my wife being a nurse, if I get this wrong, I'm going to have to be careful. But I believe Florence Nightingale started in, I got a computer in front of me. I should probably try to put her name in here. I think it was before World War One.
She was a nurse, and she helped a lot of people in Britain.
Yeah, I'm wanting to say that it was more during. I'm going to guess before I look at anything. I haven't called anything up yet. I'm going to guess that it was more during the Napoleonic Wars. And let me see here. She was born in 1820 and died in 1910.
Okay.
So what would that put her in? That seems like that would put us more towards the Napoleonic Wars, wouldn't it? When she, because she died in 1910, that would have been prior to World War One. So, yeah, that's going to be my guess there. But, yeah, she's considered the mother of modern nursing. And, yeah, she had a big impact. It had a big impact.
Yeah, my mother was named after her. That's why I brought her up.
Oh, okay.
I did read about Florence Nightingale before, but mm-hmm. My mother's maiden name was Florence Nightingale.
Huh.
So I thought I'd bring that up, but yeah.
Yeah,
I was gonna thank Craig for taking all my calls over the years.
Yeah. Yes.
He'll be missed.
Yeah, he's done a good job, and. You know, I'm kind of reminded sometimes of the one Bible verse where it says the earth abides, you know, and it's talking about different things happening, coming, going, the earth abides. I feel that way kind of sometimes because, yeah, the Crimean War, I just saw that. She started out in the Crimean War in Turkey, ministering British and Allied soldiers in Turkey during the Crimean War, is where she started out. So, and then she founded, the first scientifically based school of nursing, the Nightingale School of Nursing at St. Thomas Hospital in London, which opened about 1860. A number of other things that she accomplished. But yeah, I was going to say, we've been through a number of people who have worked the soundboard, answered the phones, and kept us on the air over the years. And so it's just trying to think. I've been here doing this for a number of years myself, but I have no idea. I know we've probably been through, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least half a dozen, I think, over the years. And that's about 14 years, I think, something like that we've been doing this. No, more than 14 years. It'll be 17 years coming up this August. And so we've been through at least 6 or 7 different board operators. We've had a couple that were kind of short term, but then we had some like Craig who've been here with us for a while. And it's always an interesting thing having to train somebody else in. I don't know that I actually train anybody in, but you know, yeah, everybody's got to get used to their own, you know, different habits and quirks and everything. And you know, the people working on the other side of the glass, they got to work with a number of people. And Craig, how many programs do you help produce? And yeah, 8 to 10, you have to work with all of those people and has to orchestrate and different personalities and all that. My job's easy. I just got to come in and work with one guy. That's it. I just work with one guy, whoever's there. And so I can get used to him and know his routines and habits and the way his signals that he gives me. But he's got to learn a bunch. Yeah, and so it's a job, and it's a skill to be able to do that. In fact, before the program started, we were talking about the value of communications, good communications, and you know, you think about that should be a no-brainer with media communications, but in order to make things flow, in order to make the various programs come together, I know there are some people who listen to 1220, you know, just basically all day, and you don't realize how much of a challenge it is sometimes to keep all those different people on. If you're one of those people who listens to 1220 all day long, you know there's quite a variety of people just because it's a Christian station. Not everybody's on the same page. Yeah, you got to upload shows. Some are recorded. There's some that are live and different ones. In fact, you have three live shows in a row on Sunday night, don't you? And he's got to go seamlessly through all three of those live programs with different people. Certainly Pastor Ernie Sanders, he comes on at 8, I believe it is. And then Richard and coming on at 9, and then us coming on at 10. So that's just the live programs that he's got to do. And so there's a lot. And then at the same time, uploading other things and making sure that the commercials play when they're supposed to play, making sure the promos play when they're supposed to play. And then if one of us, the live people, wants to run an audio clip, he's got to get that ready and then play that when we give some kind of obscure signal that we want it to start, and all of that. And then, of course, on our Sunday night program, when it comes time to go live in Tampa at 11 o'clock, he's got to coordinate all of that at the same time. And so it's a lot. I'm glad I don't have to do all that. But at any rate, it's good, and we wish him all the best on his future endeavors. So we'll be praying that he does well. So,
right.
So, but at any rate, yeah, but it's good that you're calling in and express your appreciation for what he's done.
Yep. I was going to bring up tonight. I was going to bring up Romans chapter 12.
Yes, Romans chapter 12.
Yeah, I never really understood this chapter very much.
All right, let me get turned over here. All right, any part in particular? There's a lot going on in Romans 12.
Well, chapter, but I think that studying this chapter, I believe it's a very important chapter that we need to live by.
Yeah, well, and let me point something out, too. Romans 12 is a transition chapter in the book of Romans, and in fact, people that are investigating Christianity or new Christians, I always tell people, rather than start at Genesis or even starting at Matthew, I tell people, read the Gospel of John, and then after that, read the book of Romans, and then read them both again. Go back and read John again, read Romans again. But Romans 1 through 11 really deal with Christian doctrine. And basically talks about how you become a Christian, and there's a lot of great material in there on the gospel and the fact that all have sinned and different things like that, and then of course the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son, and so we see the doctrine that's there and how we become a Christian. But when you get to chapter 12, it switches over to dealing with Christian duty and what to do now that you are a Christian. And that's why it starts out in verse 1 saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, meaning the Old Testament, they were used to taking a lamb and bringing it in and having it slain and offered up on the altar. But here he's saying, no, we don't want you to be slain. We want you to live for Christ, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is not an outrageous demand on God's part. It's reasonable when you consider what he's done for us. It's very reasonable, his request to be a living sacrifice.
So, that means living in the Word every day, walking in the Spirit.
Yes, yeah. Well, and he continues in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's just what you said. Living in the Word, as you do that, it'll transform your mind.
Right. And that's a daily thing.
Yes, yeah.
And just once a week.
Yeah. So when you look at this and you look at what takes place in Romans chapter 12 as he begins to make the case for what we ought to do as Christians, this is a, like I said, it's a very pivotal chapter. and a very important chapter, and covers a lot.
I learned a lot in this chapter, more than I've ever learned before. It's a very, very deep chapter to learn how we should treat others and how we should live and that. It's just, it's good.
Yeah, and in fact, just looking down through here, he goes into that about our attitude that we ought to have and how we ought to conduct the ministry that God's given us, and then how we ought to conduct ourselves in the world around us. And then I always like verse 17 where he says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men." In verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." In other words, this ought to be our effort, but he recognizes it might not always be possible to live peaceably. We're to try to, and as we dedicate ourselves over to the Lord, but when things happen, he's got the solution in verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And to do what he then says in verse 20 means you've got to have the Spirit of God working in you, because he says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And that's a great way to sum up that chapter there.
Yeah, in verse 9, it's and we can't be fakes either. We got to be genuine. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation."
Right.
"Toward that which is evil, cleave to that which is good."
Yes. And without dissimulation means honest, true, not Hippocratic love. It's just like the best way to understand love with dissimulation would be when you walk into the used car lot and the guy comes up with a big smile and says, "Hey, how you doing?" Like he's your best friend in the world as he's trying to sell your car.
I've known people that, in the church they're one way and outside the church they're a different way.
Right.
And we're not supposed to be like that. We have to be the same as we were in the church, real.
Consistent. And that's what he addresses, really when you get down into verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business." Because you might, have somebody who would say, you're talking about, other Christians and people in church. But when he says in verse 11, "not slothful in business," well, most people, your business dealings are with people, a lot more people than just those in the church, aren't they?
And we can't be jealous either of one another.
Yeah.
We're gifts. Like, we all have different gifts.
Exactly.
And we got to be careful that we're not,
But in all things, we're doing things with this idea that we've presented ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, the reasonable thing to do. And this tells us how to do it. In fact, the next several chapters, all the way through chapter 16, tells us really how to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So
it's a growing process.
Yes, it very much is a growing process. I was out this past week planting things in my garden. I always try to put a small garden in every year. Grew up on a small farm. We always had a big garden, and I remember my mom canning a bunch of different things and freezing a bunch of different things. I'm not that big with my gardening, but I do like to have stuff where we can have fresh vegetables and things like that to enjoy. And I think it's just good practice to always have a small garden. It's a good thing to keep you kind of reminded of where food comes from, I think. And plus, you just know what's in it. You put out things in your garden, and it's a process, isn't it? Because I put some tomato plants in last week. Well, I'm not going to go out and get tomatoes tomorrow to cut up on a hamburger for a Memorial Day cookout. It's not yet. It takes time. I don't expect the tomato plant that I planted last week to be bearing tomatoes tomorrow for my enjoyment. And I know God looks at us the same way. He doesn't expect us overnight to be transformed fully the way he would like us to be, but he does expect us to grow. You know, I look at my tomatoes and I see they're already, you know, perking up from the transplanting and starting to grow a little taller. And so, you know, you see those things, you put seeds in the ground and you put them in with the hope that they'll germinate and that they'll grow and they'll come to fruition. I think that's what God's doing with us. He wants to see us grow, just like you said, so that we eventually will be what God wants us to be. So,
I know when I first became a Christian, I wanted to take on the whole world. I thought I had it all. Man,
well,
did I ever get knocked down pretty quick?
and there's a lot of zeal initially, and the challenge in the Christian life is to maintain the zeal while tempering it, you know, so that it can last for the long term, rather than just burn out like a flash in the pan and that's it. Some people burn out quickly, and then they never do anything more for the Lord. They just burn themselves out right away.
Their relationship with Jesus wasn't real.
And that happens sometimes, too. Somebody referenced John Bunyan earlier, and John Bunyan, of course, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, he had a character in there, Pliable. Pliable was that type of a person. He was a picture of that type of person where they were caught up in the emotion of a thing, and they made a profession, but they never had a possession. And since they never possessed Christ, they just got caught up in the emotion of the thing and to pretend to be a follower. They think that they are, but they're really not. They're really not. And then when persecution, opposition, difficulty comes, they fall by the wayside because they were never saved to begin with.
Like they get weak and weary.
Yeah. And so,
Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Patience.
Well, and it's just like plant. If you plant a plant in the garden with no roots, it's not going to last long. If I trimmed off the tomato stems and stuck them in the ground, I'm not going to get much. But I got to have roots, and those roots got to grow deep and grow strong, so that plant can get the moisture and the nourishment that it needs out of the soil. If I'm expecting it to be fruitful and to produce. And that's the same with us. We need deep roots, and those only happen when you put your faith in Christ and the Spirit of God takes up residence in you, and then you feed upon the Word of God on a daily basis. You get the nourishment in that which you need, the water of life. So, hey, Terry, we're coming up on the break here. So any final thought there?
Thanks, Craig.
And again, appreciate Craig helping out with that. And Terry, thank you for calling as well. And I encourage you to stay tuned. We've got another hour. We'll be on until midnight yet tonight. And we're going to take a short break. And stay with us. And happy Memorial Day.